Good morning, and welcome in the name of Christ. It's great to have you joining us for this morning's message. Our text for today is taken from Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Let me ask, have you ever just sat down to dinner only to have the phone begin to ring? Chances are pretty good that around the dinner hour, if you answer it, the person calling you will be trying to sell you something, is wanting you to donate to their cause, or is conducting some kind of political pull. And these people are slick in their sales techniques. Most have access to a lot of your personal information and will often begin by calling you by your first name and then even asking how a member of your family is doing. With so much information available on the internet, this has become quite easy for them to do. And these days, with so many people eliminating their landlines, they will be calling you on your cell phone. In fact, this is the reason that some people got rid of their landlines, so they would no longer have to put up with these kinds of calls. How many times have you received a call, and when you answered it, there was no one there, or your phone just rang once and quit? Well, these are just computers that dial random numbers to see if they are, in fact, a working number. Have you placed your name on the so-called no-call list? Well, if you haven't figured it out by now, it's a joke. No company has ever gotten themselves in legal trouble for calling you because your name was on the no-call list. Anyway, I've always had a tough time with these calls because I was always taught to be civil and polite on the phone. But after listening to their opening statements about how much you need what they are selling, if you politely say, "Well, sorry, but I'm not interested," well, that just seems to egg them on and challenges them to become even more aggressive with their sales tactics. Well, after listening to this person for several minutes while your dinner sits on the table getting cold, even the meekest, most polite people will finally say enough and simply hang up. But even after I have tried every polite way of saying no, it still makes me feel a little guilty just to hang up on someone while they are mid-sentence. I guess when it comes to things like this, I'm a little out of date or even naive. But being naive is not an attribute that our culture celebrates or endorses. We value being as wise as serpents far more than we do being as innocent as doves, don't we? And we all like to think of ourselves as sophisticated, savvy, and wise to the ways of the world. No different, though, when it comes to the church. We demand full accounting of where our investments are made and who will profit from them. We expect professionalism from every member of the staff. Whether volunteer or paid, we expect excellence in all of our programs and ministries. Why then, if we have become so concerned with doing everything well and practicing professionalism in all of our programs, are so many of our young people abandoning the church? It seems to me that in our country today, so many of our churches have become more concerned with fitting in rather than standing out. We put a great deal of emphasis on being professional and little on being prophetic. When it comes to the church, we seem to value following much more than leading. Do you think perhaps that we have been listening to some of the wrong voices? Our text for today from Deuteronomy does need a bit of background information so that we can better follow what Moses is telling the Israelite people. Moses is having to listen to yet more grousing and complaining directed toward him and toward God. This time, the people have asked that God not be so near to them and not be so present with them. Verse 16 says, "Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire any more, or we will die. So God grants their request and gives them prophets from among their own people who will speak to them like Moses. Verse 18 says, I will put my words in their mouth. So what the prophet says will be God's word, not theirs. And then verse 21 asks, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? The answer is simple. If a prophetic word is given and that is not what takes place, then it should be clear that the message did not come from the Lord. Verse 20 says that anyone who would misinterpret what God says or give false prophecy should be put to death. This sentence covers both kinds of false prophets, those who speak in the name of other gods and those who speak their own message and try to pass it off as coming from God, not themselves. So let me ask, have we good church people been listening to some of the wrong voices? Are we listening too much to the voices of other gods, the voices of our culture, instead of listening to God's word that comes to us through the Holy Scriptures? Have we become so concerned with fitting in that we have dumbed down the biblical message? Have we been willing to disregard or gloss over some passages in the Bible because they might be offensive to some people in an attempt to try to make our message more palatable to everyone? Have we become so concerned with preaching our message to the world and finding our own politically correct niche on the religious spectrum that we have lost the essence and the power of the gospel message? Have we, in our attempts to be nice and to please as many people as possible, fallen into the trap of speaking our own message while trying to pass it off as God's message? In Israel's day, a false prophet, or one who tried to pass off his own message as God's, was to be put to death. What if we were to impose that same standard on the people today who claim to speak for God? Might our own dwindling numbers of church attenders and the spirit of apathy that has become so pervasive in most churches in America today be a dimension of that death sentence God warns his people about? With these things in mind, let me ask, what do you think we are most concerned about in our church today? Are we more concerned with fitting into the corporate business image of success instead of how Christ defines success? So we try to hire CEOs to lead our churches instead of coaches? Are we more concerned with being politically correct and accountable to the culture instead of being spiritually responsible and faithful to the truth contained in Scripture? Are we being faithful witnesses for Jesus Christ? Are we more concerned with putting on a good show and making sure that those attending our worship services are well entertained instead of doing the things that will please God? Remember, worship is not about us. This is not a show being put on for people in the audience. In worship service, everything we do is about God and for God. When we read, pray, and sing songs together, we are the performers, and God is the audience. Are we more concerned with fitting into our culture instead of fitting in with one another? Are we working together so that we might do what pleases God? Or are we mainly concerned with just pleasing ourselves? Are we more concerned with making an impression instead of making a difference? Look around most of our cities in America today. We have many beautiful church buildings in affluent neighborhoods, and run down or even abandon buildings in poor neighborhoods? Are we more concerned with cleaning up some of the more unpleasant or difficult to understand parts of Scripture, instead of simply letting the Scriptures speak for themselves? The futile attempts that have been made to politically correct the Bible in order to appease 21st century sensibilities have only resulted in taking away its power. And whenever I hear someone complain that they don't read the Bible because there's just so much of it that is, well, hard to understand, it puts me in mind of what Mark Twain once said. He said, "It's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do." Like the Israelites, having God a little too close to us can make a lot of people more than just a little uncomfortable. The result of this has been that in many of our churches today, we have attempted to domesticate God, greatly diminished the role of sin, and gotten rid of hell and the devil altogether. When a church no longer has any real prophetic witness, it affects the entire body of Christ. We need to be sure that we can answer the question of why we exist as a church and what is our purpose. Do we exist just to take care of the members of our little Christian club? Is it to provide a clubhouse for our members and hire a staff to make sure that their needs are taken care of? Or rather, do we exist to reach out to the lost and the hurting with the gospel and a message of hope? Have we been listening to the wrong voices, those of the culture? Is the message that we have put forth as a church really been our message, but we have tried to pass it off as God's? Do you think that God might have put a death sentence on many of our churches in America today because we have neglected His message? Could that be why so many of our churches are slowly dying, while they are growing in many other countries in the world? The medical field defines death as when a body no longer changes. How many of our churches are refusing to change or adapt to new ways of doing church or reaching out to new people? Might this be the reason so many of our young people are absent? As of today, it is not too late to change, but the time will one day come when it will be. As the church, we have an opportunity to exercise that prophetic gift that we once possessed. It is needed as much today as it has ever been, and some would say even more so. Our challenge then, as the church, is not to merely survive. God wants us to thrive. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 18, Jesus speaks to his disciples and affirms the church's continued and growing strength and presence in the world. The church will grow, not wither. It will march, not falter. And it will prevail, not surrender. The challenge then for us is to stop just doing our own thing and then asking God to bless it. Instead, we need to find out what God is doing and where God is doing it, so that we might join in the effort and be a part of it. As we think about our church and the presence it has in the Trenton community, let us acknowledge the times when we have listened to the voices of our culture instead of God's voice. And let us remember that the church does not exist just to take care of its members, of us. We should not become part of a church because of what it does for us. We should become part of a church because of the opportunities it gives us to mature spiritually, to help neighbor, and work for the cause of Christ in the world, so that we may be salt and light. Amen.